There's such a peace in this place, such a sense of the peace of God right here. Isaiah 40, verse 1. I'm just going to read through the chapter, and then we're going to share the word of the Lord. Amen. I feel the Lord's got a word for us for 2022. Lord's been faithful every year to do that for us and to give us a sense of a theme or what's on his heart for the year. Isaiah 40, verse 1 says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended." I would definitely, if the warfare is over, I'd be doing some crying and shouting, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I mean, one of my favorite, all-time favorite pictures is when the World War II is over, and then that picture of those people dancing and singing, you know, praise the Lord out there in New York. That her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is forgiven, and that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And a voice cries in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the desert a highway for our God." And that scripture, how many of you are glad today that that scripture was fulfilled when John the Baptist came announcing and proclaiming the coming of Jesus? I'm excited for that. I'm tell you what, I'm excited that Jesus came and that we saw that. Man, it's happened. It's happened. "Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain will be made low. The uneven ground will become level, and the rough places a plain." Hey, what are you thinking of, guys? When you think of mountains coming down and uneven ground made level, what are you talking about? Construction. That's exactly the first thing I'm thinking is. And one of the things I love is going through, I just get a crack up. Well, every time I drive 29 over to Danville, you can see, come on, the old 29 and the newer 29. Or they're not 29, but 58. The old 58, the Danville is like this and this and this and this. The newer 58 is just the gentle curves and the gentle hills. Why? Because when you're making a really good road, you got to knock out all the bumps and the curves and the twists. You know, it's not Shooting Creek Road, which, you know, and those of you know, it ain't Shooting Creek we're talking about. We're talking about John the Baptist way is not trying to avoid the stills in Patrick. No, excuse me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you'd see that curvy, twisty, up and down road. No, that's not the road of the Lord. He knocks out the high places. He brings up the low places. He takes some of those curves out so there's a really, really good path. And you can go fast. No, I'm just not. No, you may not want to go fast. But anyway, praise God. It says, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
I like it when God says something and we can just say, okay, glory.
That's right.
Glory. Glory. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Glory. Glory. Glory and more glory because God spoke. We got the word. Amen. And the road's there. And the voice says, "What shall I cry? Flesh is grass. The beauty of the flower of the field. The grass withers. The flower fades. The breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass wither. The flower fades." But I love it when God comes in and says the truth, but then says, "But the word of the Lord will stand or endure forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for his word endures. His mercies endure forever. The word of the God, you know, with all the stuff that's going on, with all the things that are happening, we can rejoice that the word of the Lord stands no matter what. No matter what. No matter what. So get up on the mountain. Zion, we're up on a hill. Herald the good news. Lift up your voice with strength. Be the light that God's called you to be. Be the sound that God's called you to give. Make that sound and say, "Lift up, O Jerusalem, lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. He's coming with power, might. His arm rules for him, his rewards with him, his recompense before him." There's a power and a might and a confidence in the word of the Lord. Amen. "But he will also tend his flock like a shepherd." So God is a mighty God. He's a powerful God. But he's also tender for his people. Amen. We need that tenderness just like we need his strength. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He'll carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young, and who's measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth like a measure. This is one of my, I just love, this is my favorite all-time scriptures, guys. And weighed the mountains in scales and hills and bales. I mean, can you picture this? Whew. God just takes the universe. I mean, the universe is so big. It's just so big. It's just huge. But the bigger that the universe gets, the bigger we understand God to be. Our understanding of the Lord just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it makes it harder for stubborn atheistic people to justify their place. Because they see, oh, the universe is way bigger. We got a new telescope. And now we can see that in that little spot that we didn't see any stars, there's like, oh, there's like a billion galaxies there. That's all. You know what I'm saying? So there's this power of the Lord that just gets bigger. But who's measured? But who can measure? Who can measure the Spirit of the Lord? Who can measure? And who has shown his counsel? Who can give God advice, right? Who did God consult when he made it? I love this. You know, I love that script. You know, I always love that saying, like, so what did God ask you his opinion about that? You know what I mean? Like, okay. Yeah, well, who did God, go to you for advice about this? No. So we need to hear what he's got to say. Who taught him? Who was his teacher? No, not me. Who showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They're counted as a dust on a scale. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust, and Lebanon would suffice for fuel. When they mean by Lebanon, anytime they talk about Lebanon, they're thinking of the cedars. Because Israel didn't have a lot of trees, at least trees that you could do a lot of nice wood with. But Lebanon is where they got their wood for the big buildings, right? They had to call them the cedars of Lebanon. So Lebanon would, if they took all the trees off the Lebanon, you know, all the cedars that they had, it wouldn't be enough. And all the nations are as nothing before him. They're accounted by him as less than nothing in emptiness. Amen. Can we say that? All the nations are as nothing before him. They're nothing. But we get, you know, oh this nation. Oh, watch out for this. You know what I mean? It's so different. This is so different from what we get thrown at us every day. It's so different. All right, so whom will you like God to? Well, how can you compare him? That's one of my favorite songs. Who can compare with the Lord? You are the one that I adore. Wow, that's an oldie. That's a 90s song right there, guys. Can you believe 90s is oldies? Dave says no. Yeah, amen. An idol a craftsman casts it. Goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts it for silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. And, you know, he talks about idols. How can you compare an idol to God, right? But then, here we go. Have you not known? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It's the Lord, he who sits above the circle of the earth. There it is. And his habitants are like grasshoppers and stretches out the heavens like a curtain, spreads them over the tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Just zip. Empty bucket. Scarcely they are planted, scarcely sown, scarcely is their stem taken root. But what happens? He blows on them, they wither, the tempest carries them off like stubble. So who can you compare me to? Who can you compare me to? Who should be like God, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and see who created all the stars. Oh. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, because he is strong in power and no one's missing. That means there isn't a single star that God hasn't seen. And we're still discovering stars that we have never seen. He's seen them all. Oh, that one. Ha, ha, ha.
He made them.
He still sees them.
Yeah,
you could still get stars named that they're discovering after you. You know, instead of a number, you get your name. That's right. Yeah. So here's where it gets personal, right here in verse 27. Okay? This is where I want to bring it personal. So y'all just put your hand right here and say, Lord, make all this personal for me. Make this personal for me. I want this to be for me now. All right, so why are you saying this, Jacob? Why are you saying my way is hidden from God? Why are you saying God doesn't notice me? Why are you saying, wait a second. If God has named every single star, how can he totally not see what's going on in your life or care about you? But let's be honest. I mean, I'll be honest. There are times I feel like, well, hasn't God overlooked me? Then somehow I got skipped in the line, or why, you know, he told me this a long time ago and it hasn't happened yet. Or, you know, it's human nature to feel that somehow we're overlooked. And it says, why is my right, what's I got coming to me? Why is God, I've done this, I've done that. Why am I not seeing this stuff come my way? And then I love this here. Have you not known? Come on, you know this. You've got the word of God, don't you? Have you not heard? The Lord's the everlasting God. He made the ends of the earth. This is it right here. He doesn't go faint. He doesn't get tired. And his understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But here's our scripture. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, not grow weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I'd like to say this. Those who wait for the Lord shall exchange their strength. I want to use that word today, if you'll allow me. Not so much renew. I want to talk about exchange. Now, this shirt I've got on right here is an exchange, because my honey got a size too big. Because sometimes when you get something that's too big, you just don't know. All right? So you can't always try on all your clothes, and it was a gift. She wanted to surprise me. So she got me, I won't say whatever size it was, but then I had to get a size smaller because it didn't, the big ones looked so big. I mean, it looked like it was like whoosh, it was out like this. You know what I mean? And they're not all cut the same. So you got to watch out. Words like classic, guys. People our age, when you see the word classic on something, that means old. That means, you know, that somehow you're not very fit or trim anymore.
Spare tire.
Huh?
Room for the spare tire.
Yeah, the room. You got to make room for the spare tire, right? Instead of the six-pack, you've got a barrel, right? You know, you've heard all these things, right? So we went for an exchange. So I want to talk about what the exchange of the Lord is for us. What has God exchanged with us? Well, the first thing we're going to talk about is something that fits you. That God wants to exchange something that you might have or something about yourself. I think Samantha talked about identity, right? What if your identity needs to be exchanged? Maybe you've got an identity that's a shirt that's way too big on you and it looks poofy, when God wants to have you look fit and trim. What if God wants to change the way people see you because of the way you see yourself? Praise God. How about seeing God and exchanging the way God sees you for the way other people see you, or way that you see you? It says that they that wait upon the Lord will exchange their strength. And isn't your identity your strength? Isn't that a strength of who you are, knowing who you are and not being confused or not questioning all the time what you are before the Lord? Because you may just be tired. You may just be weary. You may just not have, you know, you may have just been beaten up a little bit in life. Yeah? Doesn't take long to live this life without getting beaten up a little bit. And God likes to exchange that. He wants to exchange and renew your strength. So, I'm going to focus on the exchange part because renewal sort of means something a little different. And by the way, renewal is part of our three sayings, our three R's. You've got the set of the three R's of education. We've got revival, renewal, and restoration. So revival means taking something that's dead and making it alive. Okay? So that means you got to get alive before you know, that's getting saved, right? And getting the dead to life. And then you want to renew. Some people need renewal. That means they ran out of gas. Okay? And then restoration means that there's some things that maybe have been lost that need to be brought back. It's maybe things that have been stolen. Maybe some things that have left that God wants to bring back to you. Amen? So those to me are very, very important things. And we've seen God do that over the years. But I want to talk about the exchange of strength for God's strength. The power of God. Just like getting something to fit you that God really wants for you. He wants that to be yours. Okay, so, all right, so let me just show you three things here. They shall mount up with wings, they shall run, and they shall walk. Now, the term for walking generally has to do with just everyday life, doesn't it? But what does God have you do first? Fly. That if you want what God has for you, if you want to exchange your strength for his strength. Come on, how many want to do that now? Let's just wave right now and say, Lord, I want to exchange my strength for your strength. I want to have a swap, okay? I want to swap it out. Amen? Amen? So the first thing that God does for you is to get you wings first. First, before you can walk right, before you can run, you got to fly. You got to fly. You got to mount up. You got to get to the heavenly place. It says in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. They can't even touch him up there where Jesus is. Can't be touched. So you got to mount up with wings. That is some of the most amazing things. And raise your hand if you've seen an eagle fly and just watch how amazing it is. When it takes off, it just goes. Especially if there's drafts. It's just amazing. Just whoosh. Just goes. Okay? God wants us to fly in 2022 like we've never flown before. He wants us to get that heavenly perspective. What did the Holy Spirit say to the Apostle John in Revelation? He says, come on up here so I can show you some stuff. So his heavenly location increased his vision, increased his ability to see and to converse and to connect with what God wanted to do in this book called Revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to mount up with wings as eagles. So in order to run and walk the way God wants you to run and walk, you got to first fly with wings that you never thought you had. And one of the cool things about heaven is that the creatures that are always crying glory, and you know, if you read the cool creatures in the Bible, like in Ezekiel and you know, Isaiah and all these cool guys, what did they have? They all had wings, right? In Revelation, they all have wings. They have those wings because God wants people to fly and to learn how to live and to float in the heavenly realms. The eagles just stick their wings out, don't they? I mean, I've seen them shoot up like quick just by doing this. They didn't even flap. They just, it just goes. I guess it has something to do with the fact that they've got so much wingspan compared to their body mass. It's just like, ba-goom. And they rocket up there. God's got wings for you, but you got to stretch them out and let the wind of the Holy Spirit take you where God wants you to go. But that comes with waiting on the Lord. Yeah. But there's this sense of God just giving you the power so that you can trust him to take you and to give you the ability to see and to fellowship with God in the heavenly realms. I personally feel that worship is an act of taking flight with God and just soaring in the heavens. I believe that we can fellowship right here on earth and have this sense of joining the heavenly chorus. We can do it. We can be a part of that. There are times when God will have us sing in the Spirit or pray in the Spirit and not necessarily know what we're singing or why we're singing at that particular time. And that's all right, because we may be joining a certain worship, a prayer or a chorus and carrying out the will of the Father. And we'll find out later what that is. There's a sense that it's very, very important when we're together and worshiping the Lord, just a sense that, okay, we're not going to move on until we really, you know, work what God has with us. But then at the same time, there are going to be times when we're just going to worship and we may not know exactly what it's about, but it's going to flow. You feel the presence of the Lord and it's rolling and you're like, okay, God, I may not know exactly what's going on now, but that's all right, because I'm not the one making the wind blow. I don't even know. What does it say? The wind blows where it wills and you don't know where it's coming and you really don't know where it's going. So you have to get comfortable with the mystery.
Enjoy the wind. Don't worry about the rest of it.
Exactly. Just enjoy it that you got some.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So the second thing is about running and not being weary. When you run, there's an intensity and a focus that you're going somewhere and that you've got something to do. Like if I know that I've got to be somewhere, and you'll see this principle all over the Bible, but messengers did not walk to deliver messages back in the older days. What did they do? They ran. We have bicycle messengers in, you know, New York City, cities, big cities, because they can get a message quicker than a car can. They can do delivery because we know traffic really stinks there. You know what I'm saying? So they do bicycles. Why? Because there's something about a message. There's something about a purpose. There's something about you've got to deliver this that you cannot stop and you can't schlep. Okay, that's a little Yiddish word, but it means don't. This is schlepping. Okay? Kind of dragging your feet and kind of, you know. It sounds like, doesn't it sound? So the word sounds like what you're doing. Kind of dragging your feet. And so the Lord wants us to learn to run, to give us, what was that, Josh? You're giving a little musical comment. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
it was a good sound effect. Thank you. Thank you. So, thank you very much. Anyway, so when you run and not be weary, that's when God has stuff for you to do that you need strength for. Because when God gives you a task, you've got to do something with an intensity and with a purpose and with a running to get it done. And there's a weariness that comes. I'm telling you, when God wants you to do something and get something done for him, you get tired. Ministry is tiring. So when you're pouring out and you're giving, and you've got to take time to restore or renew. Because you've just been giving, you know, and so God has this strength for you to accomplish everything that he wants you to do. So let's just say that. Lord, I know that you can give me strength
for everything you want me to do
as I wait on you. Amen. Praise God. You can do it all that God wants for you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You can do it. What God wants you to do. What I just feel, I want to say it again because the Holy Spirit's going, yes.
Yes, God, you can do what God wants you to do. And he will give you the strength to do it. He will. Amen. Praise God. He'll cause you to run with the message that he wants you to deliver to people. We all have messages to deliver. It says he gives his angels, gives angels like spirits. He gives his messengers like flames of fire. And how many of you know that a fire can go really fast? It can run fast. It can run really fast. And you can have a fire starting in one part of an area. And if it's dry enough and the winds are blowing enough, guess what? It's going. That's right. And you can't contain it. Praise God. That's the kind of fire of the message that God has. He can do a message and a revival of fire of with messengers, and he can just make it roll, just push, just like that. We should never lose sight of the times that we've had, and we thank God for those times when you're kind of plodding along and you're working hard and you feel like you're not making a lot of progress. And then God says, wait on me. Watch me. The wind's blowing. It's going to be a spark. And watch this baby roll. And it, boom, it flies. It runs so fast. So fast. We should never forget the power of God to run. Amen. Last but not least, walk and not faint. Walking is our daily life. It's what we do all the time. It's our getting up, it's our going to bed, and everything in between. Walking and not fainting. It's the sometimes the mundane things. It's relationships, it's family, it's work, it's all the stuff we do, it's all the things that we go about with every day, and that can get, it can be tiresome. It can be tiresome, the demands of just walking, just living. It could be your job wipes you out. Some of the first jobs I had, I'd come home and I would just, that would be it. I would go. I'd be done. And so everyday life can be very exhausting, whether you're doing a physical work, whether you're doing mental work. I get exhausted from mental work too. I mean, it makes me tired. And I have to learn how to wait on the Lord to exchange the strength. Okay, I'm going to give you my shirt that just doesn't fit me right now. It's just, we've tried, it looks good, but it's not really the one for me. And you can get the one that God has for you in your everyday life.
Go.
Psalm 25, verse 5 says this, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. So waiting on the Lord has its particular times of your day. But as you go about your day, there's a way to learn how to wait on God. On the inside, I love it. I call it the spirit man. I'm not the first one to use it. But that spirit man in you, that spirit person that's just waiting on God, and you're listening, and you're just worshiping. You're just loving him. You're just looking to him. So that if the Lord says, stick your wings out, if the Lord says, you've got a message here, run with it, or if it's just everyday life, there's that sense, I'm waiting on you, Lord, this entire day. Because you just never know what's going to happen. And some amazing things do happen. Amen? So I want to encourage you this year for 2022 that God wants to give you new strength.